Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. And as you are preparing for Orphan and Widows Sunday in November, I want to share with you a global movement in orphan care that is really beginning to make a difference in the lives of children and families and whole communities. To do that, I want to bring in our International Orphan Care Consultant for Sin Relief, Kristen Lowry. Kristen, thank you for joining us. Tell us where you're joining us from today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're in Kenya, is that right?
Yeah, right outside of Nairobi.
Oh, well, I want to know, I've so loved getting to know you and getting to do the breakfast with you at the convention in New Orleans over the summer. You just said so many things that just got my wheels turning as far as global orphan care, which is truly my heart. Even seeing changes here as I work in foster care here in my own state, to see children to go into kinship care and what little the family really needs to make it work, right? I've been so convicted to focus on that. That's kind of what you're focusing on globally. But how did you first get involved with just being in Africa, missions? How did all this come about?
Lynette, you want the whole story, hey?
I want the highlights because they're great.
So I came to Africa in 2008. As a photographer for the International Mission Board. And I spent 2 years kind of doing a journeyman term, thinking like, this is going to be a really great opportunity. I'm going to get a lot of great photos in my portfolio. And then I'm going to go on to the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
And as the Lord does, he disrupted those plans a bit. So one of the last assignments I had, I was taking photos of a young lady in Kenya who was working with street children. And her name was Eunice. And so I spent about 2 weeks just kind of going with her every morning. She was a university student, so she didn't have a ton of money, but she would go and buy bananas with these boys and kind of share Bible stories and just really get to know them. So I went for 2 weeks, took pictures. At the time, I was living in South Africa, and I went back home, and I was like, it's going to be so cool. The Lord is going to use that to bring somebody to work with those street kids. And after not very long, the Lord made clear that it was me who was going back to work with those street kids. So I went back to Kenya and ended up living with that young lady, Eunice. And we lived in downtown Nairobi for a number of years and both had a calling from the Lord to work with children on the streets. There's several hundred thousands of them in Kenya and millions around the world. And so we were working with these kids, praying for an opportunity to kind of get them off the streets and back with loving families. Yeah. And in 2013, my mom was a real estate agent in the States, and she had sold a house to a guy from Kenya. And he called me on Christmas Day of 2013 and was like, hey, I have an orphanage and I hear you like street kids. So would you like it?
Merry Christmas.
Exactly. That's what it was like. It was like, really? And so Eunice and I went and we basically took over this orphanage, and to this day we're running it. And one of the significant kind of moments for me was that I went to this orphanage and I'd heard from the trustees and the community and everyone that like these kids had nowhere to go, right? Mm-hmm. Like these kids were the most vulnerable. They had no family. They were complete orphans. And so I went in and there was this young boy who was erasing the day's lesson off the chalkboard. And I just kind of gently asked him in Swahili, like, hey, I'm really sorry. What happened to your parents? And he got this big smile on his face. And he was like, my mom was here on Saturday. She comes once a month. And so I was just, I don't know, it kind of started this journey for me of like realizing that most children in institutions have family and trying to figure out how we could get them back to their family. So there's the story in a nutshell of how I am. But that's my heart and passion, is to see children in families. Every kid deserves a family.
Absolutely. And so when we were sitting in June in New Orleans at the Southern Baptist Convention, and on the panel you said, we cannot adopt our way out of this. And that's so true. Like, we always want more families, right? We're always just doing programs and raising awareness for more families, more families. That's not going to fix it for all these kids.
No. And I mean, I think our hearts are really in a good place when we say,
right,
the Lord is calling me to do that. And I think there are always going to be kids that need adoption, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But the fact is that, you know, there's between 5 and 8 million children in orphanages, and most of them are not going to get adopted out. Most of them are going to age out. And we know from the foster system in the U.S. and from research around the world what happens to kids when they age out, and the outcomes are not great.
Mm-mm.
And so if we can be a part of changing that narrative and getting those children in families before they age out, we can change so many kids' lives. 80% of children around the world who are in orphanages have a living parent. So whether it's a mom or a dad, and even those who don't have a living parent usually have extended family that would love to take care of them. But most kids that are in orphanages end up there because of poverty. And so our good intentions are not always helping the way we want them to. And so while there's a place for international adoption, I think our first step needs to be looking at these children on a case-by-case basis and saying, like, what is best for this particular child?
I love that. I love that. What is best for this particular child? And I think if I could challenge the church and challenge those who have a passion like you and I do, Kristen, to just see, as God's word says, children placed in families, right? We know that was the heart, that's the heart of our Lord, to see them placed in families. But also, when you were writing, you know, you were with that one student that day, and he said, I just saw my mom. You can't just walk away from that.
You
know. So did that change the entire trajectory of the orphanage that you inherited?
So Eunice and I came in, and we, you know, after doing some assessment and talking to the kids and talking to the staff, we realized that most of the children actually did have families. So most of them were there because their families were afraid that if they, you know, stood up and took their kids back, they wouldn't be able to afford education or food or medical care or any of those things. And so what we did was we were able to promise those families, we want your child to be in your care. We want you to be able to care for them well. And we will provide those resources that you need and able to in order to do that. So within a year, I think we had gotten, there were 50 kids when we showed up. I think we'd gotten 40 something of them back with their families.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And since that time, our focus is on rescuing children on the streets. And we've rescued more than 600 kids from the streets. And of those 600 that we've rescued, we found one that we couldn't find any family for. One out of 600. And so reuniting with family and doing that kind of work takes a lot of effort. I don't want to tell you, like, it's so easy. We just show up and it's great. It takes a lot of time, a lot of counseling and a lot of reconciliation and family empowerment and trying to figure out, you know, what was the issue to begin with. But it's so worth it. I can tell you our social workers have gone into villages and found a child on the streets, taken him home, and the mom has called the entire village to come and said, let's have a Thanksgiving service to the Lord because I thought my son was dead. And here he is. He's safe and alive. And imagine if, you know, another organization or institution had found that child and he had just grown up until he was 18 and never known that love that his parents were ready to give him, you know? So.
And you and I would both agree, and, you know, we talk about this on the podcast I have for years, that children, their number one thing they need, I need, you need, is connection. You know, just to have a loving, supportive adult in their life that values them, cares for them, wraps care around them, and to get them reunited with their family is the best case scenario. And you've seen out of 600 that you've had contact with on the street, one that you couldn't. So there will always be a need for extended help, right? And what does that look like? Like, what does that look like? I guess every community would be different as far as their traditions, their backgrounds, what kind of relationships they have within the local government. I'm sure all of that looks differently. But for those kids who cannot be reunified or connected back with their families, where do we go from there?
So our first step is always biological parents, right? Like whenever we do family tracing, we're always looking for the parents. But like you said, there's occasionally times where the parents are just not in a place where they can safely care for that child. If it's poverty, we try to, you know, we can fix that. Money's not that hard. But sometimes there's just cases where it's the parents are not loving, caring parents, and it can't work. So at that point, we always go toward kinship care next. So we look, you know, in Africa, extended family is very close and very connected. Like if I have a younger sister, and if she were African and I were African and my children were here, they would call her little mom, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was just as close to them as I am, if not closer, actually, because the way the community works is if they had an issue with me, do you know who they would go to? They would go to little mom. And they would talk to her. And so we go for kinship care next. If we can't find a suitable kinship care, then there, you know, is foster care. And so foster care is the next option, is keeping kids within their community and their culture, and helping them to reintegrate into the community, even if it's not with biological family. And in Kenya, the next step from there is domestic adoption. In Kenya, there's not an allowance for international adoption because there was a lot of issues with trafficking. But I think that's generally the steps we go to, right, is biological parents, kinship care, foster care, domestic adoption. And if those don't work, and there are, of course, cases, and mostly it's cases where there's disability or a large sibling group or something like that. If those all don't work, that's when we move toward international adoption.
You know, I know there's an activity you do with large groups. You and I were talking about this last week. I just want you to walk through that to help us as the church sitting here in the U.S. to understand this. I don't know, this activity hits me hard, and I just wanted you to share that with us.
Yeah, a friend I have actually introduced this to me a while back, and he just had me sit, and he said, I just want you to think of one child that you love, right? And that's easy for me. I've got five kids, so I thought of one of them.
Right.
I got the picture in my mind. I was like, okay, I got it. And he was like, now, just imagine if you and your husband, there was a terrible accident and you passed away. Who would you want that child to go to? This is easy. Okay. So I would want them to go to family, right? Okay. He's like, well, wait, this is still a terrible exercise. What would you want if that family also died in the same accident? Well, you know, maybe that was my parents. Well, what about my sister? Well, she was in the same accident. She died. Oh, where are we going now? Okay. Well, I have some really close neighbors and friends that love the Lord. That's where I would want them to show up. Right. It's like, oh, well, they died in the same accident. How long does this last, right? And so what he made me think through was like, how many iterations of this would we have to go through before you would say, I would want them in an orphanage?
Yeah.
And I realized for myself, I would never get there.
Mm.
And the question that we have to ask ourselves is like, why are we building and supporting financially a solution in the majority world that we don't want for our own kids? And that's a hard thing to wrestle with, right?
It really is, because that's the last place I'd want my kids to go.
Yeah, and but that's what our default is, because that's what we've heard about for a long time. And that's where we visited. Like $2.5 billion every year goes from the American church to institutions overseas. And it's not like it's not bad intentions on our part, right? We see children suffering and we want a practical way that we can help take care of them. And what's been put in front of us is an orphanage. But unfortunately, wherever you have vulnerable children, you're also going to have people that want to take advantage of them. And that's what happens a lot in the orphanages, right? Is people are taking advantage of those children. And so I believe, this is my heart, that as the church, we can be a part of changing that narrative. And we can use our money and our influence and our volunteer time and all of these resources we have to change what's happening to those vulnerable children. Rather than being put in an orphanage, we can say, no, what we want to see is the families empowered. It's cheaper to care for a child within a family setup than within an orphanage setup. And like, you know, all the research, you know how important that attachment is. And
that's
an orphanage, even if it's 20 kids, like just imagine if you had 20 kids. Can you give them all the time and emotion?
No, you're just hurting cats. Yeah, at that point.
Five, and there's days when I struggle so hard. Like, they all need something.
Right.
And it's hard. Right. So I can't imagine 20 or 50 or 100. Like, they're not getting what they need on that level.
Right. So when you inherited this orphanage, you weren't married at the time, so your husband had to have buy-in, right, in all this?
That's the Lord's kindness also.
Yes, I understand.
So, I was single at that time, and once we got married, the Lord was very gracious and called us back to Kenya. And so we're here now, and he does the work of teaching pastors across the country, doing theological education, and I've continued with the institution. And there was a time in like 2017, 2018, where kind of like, I told you, we were able to get 40 of the 50 home within a year. But there were a number of them that, because they had been in institutions for such a long time, their records were lost, right? They had gone from institution to institution to institution, and nobody had managed to ask them the right questions or keep up with the records well. And so there were a number of kids who we decided the best option for them was foster care. And so, you know, through a lot of prayer and seeking the Lord, my husband and I ended up fostering two of those that I had known for a long time in kind of, you know, what in the States you would call a fictive kin relationship. So,
yeah. So it's hit home for you. Not only do you preach it, you live it. I know. I'd love to hear you share. So, Kristen, when the Lord laid upon your heart that day when you had the conversation with the boy in the classroom, and you saw the joy on his face when he mentioned his mother, I know that was a pivotal moment for you. It's hard for me to think about that, you know, to not ever be able to have that relationship again. But when you started this, you had to have had major hurdles in your community for this to work. And I know in some countries, you know, some of the governments are never going to let us come in and make this work or never allow the communities to do this. It would be against the law. I know in some countries for parents even to step forward and say, yes, that was our child, right? But in a lot of countries, this has become a global movement. I mean, in so many different areas. I have a friend in Vietnam right now that moved there just to teach families how to keep the girls out of trafficking, keep their family together, and equip moms, especially single moms, to earn income and to be able to care for their special needs children. I'm talking children who can't walk. I'm talking children who can't see, that sort of thing, right? Because there's not government help there. There aren't institutions to help them with that. And so the Lord is really moving among the church to do this. But what are some of the hurdles that were just really hard to get over? Because even the idea of foster care in some communities and countries is just so foreign to them.
Yeah, for sure. There were hurdles and there were things that were hard. But I just want to say first, like, this is a really exciting time.
Yes.
To care for orphans. Like you said, there is a worldwide sort of movement happening right now. All around the world where people are realizing what we thought was doing great good in these children's lives. Now that they're getting old and aging out, we're seeing that the outcomes are not what we had hoped. Mm-hmm. And so not only are churches, you know, changing what they're doing and changing how they're supporting, but governments even, like here in Kenya, they changed the law, it was last year. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to transition out of institutional care and into family-based care. But the hurdles, honestly, a lot of the hurdles, they're around sin. They're the same hurdles that you find in the U.S., right? The same reason that kids are in foster care in the U.S. There's a divorce, or there's issues in the family, marital issues or family issues, or there's alcoholism, or poverty. Poverty is a huge one. And with the institution that I'm working with, Shelter Yetu, we spent a long time trying to figure out what's the solution. So we spent years paying school fees, and we still do that for a lot of families, or giving food packages every month, and we still do that. And then we realized through the help of, if you're familiar with the Chalmers Center, they have a lot of resources and materials and research out there that talks about actually empowering families and what we can do in that regard. And so we worked with them and with some other organizations and developed a financial empowerment system program that we can help families to get on their feet and be able to care for their own children in healthy and good ways. And so all of those hurdles are there. Like, I don't want to come in and say, like, this is super easy. Just go to the orphanage and see the kids home. Everything's going to be great.
It sounds super hard to me. It really does, but so worth it.
It is. It's so worth it. And I mean, for us, a big part is follow-up, right? So we take a kid home and then we might spend 6 months going to visit them every month, or we might spend 5 years, depending on the family's needs, but just making sure they have somebody to walk with them. And if they have a problem, somebody they can call. And my heart is for that to be the local church, right? So in every community, churches are, you know, these lighthouses of places where instead of taking your kid to the orphanage, you can go to the local church and say, hey, I love my kid, but we can't afford school fees anymore. Can you help? And that's a place where I'd love to see partnerships happen between churches in the U.S. and churches in the majority world, where they can come together and say, you know, what are the issues affecting your community? And how can we work together to see those overcome so that children can stay with their family? So we don't have to wait till they're on the streets to give them the support and to help the family.
Oh, well, it all sounds just, you know, the more that I've been digging into this and so want to see it even happen more in the U.S., but to see it happen globally is just, I encourage everyone to dig around in it and to learn more. And so as we get ready to have Orphan and Widow Sunday, kind of walk us through that. Like, how can our churches get more involved and educate ourselves more?
Yeah, I think, like I said at the beginning, like, I think this is just, you know better and you do better.
That's right.
There are, I'm sure, tens of thousands of churches that support orphanages. That's just experiential knowledge, right? Like,
right,
I've gone to many churches.
Right.
You go on mission trips to orphanages, you give monthly support to orphanages. Just start to have conversations with that orphanage and ask, you know, like, hey, is it possible that some of the children there have family? Have you looked into family tracing at all? And I think that's a good place to start, is just with the knowledge, right? The knowledge that most of the kids in that orphanage that you're visiting might have family. And once you have that knowledge, call me. So Orphans and Widows Sunday, there's a QR code on all the materials where you can just email me, and I'm happy to just sit down and have a conversation, look at resources and materials, and help you think through those relationships that you already have with orphanages and how you can be a part of getting some kids home. Or if your church isn't involved in orphanage, call me and we can discuss, like, hey, where would be a healthy place to plug in? Where's a place that's really supporting families and working through the local church where you can make a difference in the life of orphans? And so that's kind of what I'm hoping for on November 12th is for a lot of people to just raise their awareness of the orphan crisis around the world and start to look at next steps for, you know, what does this mean for my church? Where are we now and what can we do next to help more kids? And so, like I said, if you go to sendrelief.org/orphan, all of the materials are there from Send Relief. Use them on your Sunday service, promote them, talk about the fact that there are children living in orphanages, and that's not what we want for any kid in our lives that we love. And then please feel free to shoot me an email and we can just have a conversation about, you know, where your church is, where you are, and how we can go to the next step.
Right. And I know even there at the children's home that you help and trying to help families reunify, you just got a new playground. Isn't that right? Yes. Tell us about that.
So a few churches wanted to know how they could help. And we've had the same playground since 2000, which is a while. And it was made for much smaller children. So we were recently able to just kind of revamp that and just have a good place for kids to play. We've got about 120 kids who come through our center every year. And a lot of them are dealing with a lot of complex trauma, a lot of loss, a lot of drug use. And just for them to have a place that they can hang out and relax between classes and counseling and lessons has been a huge blessing for them.
But are most of those, you say like 120 come through a year, they go back to families?
Yes. All
They're
of
still
them
connected with them.
So they'll go back, they'll come through our program, which is about a 6-month program. They'll come in and they'll do what we call the transition program, which is 30 days of pretty intensive counseling, life skills, children's rights. They go through all of these processes. And then at the end of 30 days, they move on to like an informal education element where we help them get ready to go back to school if that's what they want to do. And at that point, we'll assign them a social worker who will do an initial home visit. So they'll just go home, talk to the family about what happened, why there was separation, what happened. And then we'll bring the child back to the shelter so that we can work through that, counsel through that, and we'll work with the family and the child separately until both the child, their teacher, their counselor, their social worker, their parents, yes, everybody has agreed, we're ready for reunification now. And then once we reunite them with the family, we'll continue checking up on them every month or every several weeks if necessary, just to make sure they're doing well, they're okay in school, there's no problems at home. We'll talk with neighbors, we'll talk with church leaders, and just really kind of try to build a support system for them.
Kristen, it sounds to me like you could use some help. You have a lot of moving parts there. And so maybe in the future, that would be a great thing to be able to come to Kenya and help. Is the community, do they have a positive outlook about, I know you have the local churches, but do you seem to, I'm sure it takes a while to gain favor in the community.
Yeah, that's when we first went into the community and had this idea to change the orphanage.
Yes.
It was not received well, right?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Miss and I were enemies of everyone because everyone loved this orphanage and they knew that it was helping kids. And so when we came in, there was all of this fear that we're going to send all these kids back to the street, that we're coming in to take the money, that we don't have good motives. But after a few years of doing what we're doing, we have a lot of community support. The local government supports what we're doing. Pastors and community members are excited about it and happy about it. And we're deeply grateful because it takes time to build those relationships.
Oh, yeah. With buyers
and trust, really. Trust that we do care for the children. We're doing, you know, what's best for them. But it's worth it. And yeah,
yes.
Really love to see people do is to come and see, right?
Yeah.
See, here's an alternative to keeping kids for 18 years and here's how it works. And just give them the opportunity to dream about what that looks like in their own context, in the context of where they're supporting, where they're giving their money, where they're sending volunteers. Like, could it look different?
This has just been incredible. I am so excited about this global movement to do what's absolutely the best thing for every child and family. And just to see them thrive, you know, emotionally as adults, for their mental health. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, to be honest. Whereas when we build an orphanage and we share the gospel and give gospel light to these children that are there, when we expand our reach and look at the whole community and the family, think how much brighter and broader that gospel light shines, right?
Yes.
So we don't get the chance just to pour into this child, but suddenly we can pour into their mom and their aunt and their uncle and the business down the street. And so it's an amazing opportunity. And I just want churches to stop and think through it. Feel free to call me and let me think through it with you. And like you said, to try to help each child.
That's right.
To be able to thrive in a loving family.
Kristen, thank you so much for being willing to share time with me today on the podcast. This has been one of my favorite ones. I've been doing this 5 years, but one of my favorite ones to do for the topic. And I'm so excited to see what can happen. I'm excited to come and work with you and to just see this grow. Anything else you want to share with us before we go?
I don't think there's anything more. I'm grateful. I'm deeply grateful, especially for those who have a heart for orphans, those who are
Yes.
fosters, those who are adopting. Let's just walk this hard road together and let's do it in the best way that we can with all the resources and all the knowledge that's out there to help these kids and to see them in families because Psalm 68 says the Lord sets the lonely in families.
That's right.
And the issue with orphans is not that they don't have schooling and not that they don't have a good house or enough food. The issue is they don't have a family. And our God wants that for them, and we want that
Amen.
For them. So, That's thank right. you so much for having me, and I'm so grateful
thank you for it.
And for your ministry. Thank you.
Well, if anyone wants to get in touch with Kristen, she shared with you how you can do that. And we just see years of ministry together with Kristen. And so we'll also that include that in the show notes. And we want to see your church get involved even more with helping families reunify and ministering to orphans and widows and seeing communities heal through the love of Christ. So just check out more of that on sinrelief.org. And we're always here if you need us. Thank you all.